The papers that you were reading from yesterday, have we copied them?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I believe we have not.
All right, so it's Reish.
It's just that I don't have it. I think
Reish Lamed Ches to Reish Mem. If somebody could be kind enough to photocopy this.
Reish Lamed Ches to Reish Mem.
And in the meantime, I'm just going to give a little bit of a review of what we spoke about yesterday, and then I'm hoping that we'll have time to talk about Nat Bar Nat. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch wants to know what happens if you insert a milchika spoon into a fleishika pot that's cooking fleishiks. Everything is hot, everything's a ben yomo. You know, you have all the conditions. And he says the following. We could be matir both the tavshil, the fleishika tavshil, and the fleishika kedera with shishim. But we cannot be matir the spoon itself. The spoon itself is considered to be saturated with both the tam of cholav and the tam of basar. And that spoon is asur. Then the Shulchan Aruch says that if you were to take that spoon and insert it into another tavshil, so there was the first tchiva of a milchika spoon in a fleishika pot. Now you take that spoon, which has already become awesome because of basar b'cholav, and now you insert it into a second tavshil. So the Mechaber Paskin said you need shishim against the spoon, but then he adds a condition, which we'll get as soon as the photocopies come in, and he says, again, he doesn't say the word ubitnai, but on the condition shehu ben yomo, that this spoon is a ben yomo. Otherwise, you don't need shishim, and everything is mut. So the Shach says that what does he mean bitnai that it's a ben yomo? It means that the second chiva took place within 24 hours of the previous tchiva. And the Shach goes out of his way to emphasize that that applies even if it's more than 24 hours since the original cooking of milchiks, when the spoon became milchiks. So as we pointed out yesterday, there's time T1, time T2, and time T3. Time T1 is when he used the spoon in milchik. So he's got this big, you know, he's making milchik donuts for Chanukah, right? Okay. Some people are makbid not to make milchik donuts for Chanukah. Today there's a whole industry of milchik donuts. So I don't know exactly, you know, maybe you have to leave a little bit of a flag inside it that should say Chalavi on it. Anyway, so he's making milchika something or other, whatever it might be, you know, it's pasta and cheese, and he inserts the spoon. Fine. That's time T1. Now fast forward to time T2. He takes this spoon within the same 24 hours, and he inserts it into a fleishika pot, and it's cooking fleishiks. Then at time T3, after this spoon became an osur, as we said before, he inserts it into another pot where he's cooking whatever he's cooking. It's irrelevant. Anything. However, says the Shach, by this time of Tchiva Beis, you've already passed the 24 hours since the original use of the spoon in Chala, but it doesn't matter. Why? Because you're still within the 24 hours of the first Tchiva, meaning when you would tochev it into a kdera that was cooking meat in it. And the Shach adds the following explanation. He says that it is chaticha nasis nevela, that the spoon has now a blia, as a result of the first tchiva, a blia of both basar and cholav, and both are tam l'shva. Once it becomes basar b'cholav, now the spoon starts a new counting of me'es li'es. In other words, it remains a tam l'shvach, meaning it remains a bas yomo for 24 hours since the first tchiva.
So,
Well, yet I didn't use the word chiva for the first one. I'm sorry, maybe that's a mistake on my part. I used the generic term like I was like deliberately ambiguous. I said it was used, you know, in a milchka pot. But you're right, you could call it chiva number one, chiva number two, chiva number three. But in order that I don't get messed up because of, you know, our discussion of yesterday, I'm going to call it chiva one and chiva two. The first one we'll call just use in milchits, right? Okay, fine. All right. Comes along the Bach. Now keep in mind the Bach is before the Shach, so but not by much, but a little bit. And the Bach says name. What the Shulchan Aruch has in mind when it says that the second chiva generates an Iser because it was Me'es Li'es and it was a Bas Yomo, he means Me'es Li'es of the original use, which we call time T1, when it was with Milchiks. And the Bach says the following argument, and it's a very cogent argument. He says, how can you talk about this spoon as Bas of a Cholav when the Cholav is an Ein Bas Yomo? Meaning, when this spoon is used in the second chiva, and you're saying by virtue of the first chiva, it's going to generate an Isur Bas Chalav in the second Tavshil, what is the nature of that Cholav? That Cholav is already a Tam Pogum. How can it be that this Tam Pogum would generate an Isur of Bas Chalav if the Cholav is a Tam Pogum? So the Prima Gadim wants to suggest that this machlokas between the Shach and the Bach is really an ancient machlokas that dates back probably 5 centuries earlier between the Rashba and the Ran. What's the issue of the Rashba and the Ran? We have a principle in Hilchas Bliya that Ein Bliya Yotzei Mikadera Likadera below Roten, which means the following. If let's say I have a kedera that has a bilua, has a blia in it, thank you so much, Yosef, and that blia is a blia asura, and now I cook in that same pot that has a blia asura, then the cooking entails using a liquid, right? There's a liquid in the pot, that's what bishul is by definition. And as a result of that liquid, the bilua from the pot is going to exit, so to speak, and be niflat, and enter into the tavshil. However, let's imagine a situation which the Rashba and the Ran are going to address, where you have two different pots. Let's say one pot is fleishiks and one pot is milchiks. Everything's ben yomo, right? And there are two fires going on, so everything is hot. And now the two pots touch each other. They have an agia, one to the other. So in such a case, we're going to apply the principle of Ein Bilua Yotze Mikadera Likadera below Rotev. And this you'll see if you have page Reish Lavites, because I always like to see it inside. He says the following. The last word on the previous page, Reish Lavites, was im. So just attach the word im. Im chaticha, this is going to be a major controversy between the Rashba and the Ran. Im chatichas bosu v'cholav, oseres chatichas hetem b'negiyah ba'alma. Kishishneim chamin below rotev. So you have two pots. One is milchiks and one is fleishiks. Everything is a ben yomo. And there are fires going on, so everything is hot. And now these two pots have a contact, one with the other. So the Rashba says that in this case there's no Isur. Why is there no Isur? Because we have a principle called Ein Bliya Yotzeis Michaticha L'chaticha below Rotev. I'm sorry, I have to take a little bit of a drink. It's not schnapps, so don't worry, but it's hot water. Okay, so hopefully that'll help me.
The word rotev, comes to exclude mayim?
No, it comes to exclude two dry objects. Like, say, for example, there's a piece of hot nevela, and there's a piece of hot basar shkuta, and the two touch each other.
Yes.
And there's no liquid. That's called below rotev. So there's an agia below rotev.
So even if the liquid were to have been water, as a rotev, you get the feeling is
no rotev is just a dibra kosev behova. That's usually okay. It's usually rotev, but it means any liquid.
Liquid.
It doesn't have to be rotev in the sense of meaty gravy. It could be water as well. But you have two dry pieces of hot meat, and one is not going to assa the other one. Again, you may need something called kidei netila, which is not for us. But there's no tarovis here because the bliya is not going to go without rotev. And in the same for the same token, says the Rashi, if you have two kideros, each one has a bliya, and they touch each other, and everything's hot, there will be no isur. And therefore, he says the following. What's going to happen if you have a fleshika pot that's sitting right next to, contiguous to a milchika pot, and there's contact between the two pots, one milchiks and one fleshiks? So the Rashba says that nothing is osur over here. Why? Because they're two solid, dry pots. There's no liquid that's transferring the baliya. So you want to get the bliya from the basar into the chalav, or vice versa, and there's no conduit that's going to achieve that transfer of bliya. And therefore, everything remains mutar. Let's read this inside. The Das HaRashba, the second line, the afal gav di amrina b'chulin kufches, the kevin shen nasan ha-chalav tam b'chaticha, that if you have a tipas chalav that falls on a piece of meat, Chaticha atzma nases nevela. He says that doesn't mean nevela mamish. Don't misunderstand the Gemara. The Gemara only means that the chaticha's basar, insofar as it's carrying within it the tam of chola, because the tipas chol that fell on it, is nevela, meaning it has the status of isur. It's basar that has a tam of chola within it. Avali Olam, says the Rashba, im efshal lahafrid habasav acholav zemizeh, shuv einam osur midin basav acholav. If you can somehow separate the cholav from the basar, then there would be no iser of basav acholav. Uvishum hachi, ein chatichas basav acholav, oseres chatichas heter, benigia bialma. Let's say you have a piece of meat, and there was milk that fell on top of the meat, or it got mixed up in a tarovas of bishul, and that piece of meat now becomes basar b'cholav. Now you take this piece of meat and you attach it to a piece of heter. The heter remains mutter. And why is that? Because there's no rotev, and the bliya of the milk in the chatichas basar without rotev will not be able to be transferred over to the basar heter. So that what you've done now is you were mafrid, in effect you separated the chol from the basar. Why? Of course the basar itself, meaning the basar that received the tam of chol, that itself is asur. And that certainly has total contact with the basar shchuta.
Yeah.
But the bliya of chalav, which went into that basar of chalav, would not be transferred. It would remain, so to speak, alone, left behind in the chatichas basar, because there's nothing to pull it out. Why? What are we lacking? What are we missing to pull out that bliya of chalav? Rotev. We have no liquid. And therefore, the bliya of chalav, says the Rashba, remains behind. So that the only bliya that you can transfer through this negia is the bliya of basar, but the basar is not asur. It's the basar b'chalav that's asur. If I can only somehow separate the chalav, and you and I would have said in our wildest dreams, you can never separate the basar and the chalav, but here we have a real scenario, a reality in which, according to the Rashba, you can separate the basar and the chalav. What does that mean, separate the basar and the cholav? How can you separate the basar and the cholav? The cholav fell into the basar, everything was hot, and it gave time of cholav into the basar. The answer is, what I can do is I can impede, if that's the right English word, impede the possibility of the cholav that's balua to leave The basar. Why? Because the basar is be'en, the cholov is tam, right? It's tam balua, and that tam balua will not be transferable through negiah below rotev.
What's the big chiddush? If you have a piece of iser and a vela touching your shchuta, you have the same din.
Right, but in that case, I think we need some sort of
Ketanetila
here.
So
he's saying, I think he's saying you wouldn't even need a Ketanetila. I will say, again, I have to open up the Rashba, but understand the Rashba's revolution. And the truth is that it's not such a revolution if you accept that Chaticha Nase's Kinevela. Okay, you add the Chafadimya. What is he saying? Chaticha nasis nevela, as long as you maintain that taroves of two tam, namely of basar and cholav, then it's nevela. But lu yitzur, if somehow under the heavens I can extract the cholav and leave it behind and separate the basar from the cholav, then enochniam, that basar becomes heter. Heter mamish. And that's what he's saying. Mishum hachi, let's read the Rashba. Ein chatichas basa b'chol v'oseres chatichas heter. Imagine, there's no iser whatsoever. B'negiyah b'alma. The whole the ena bilua, in effect, what you've been able to do is separate the bilua of chol from the basa. You've extracted. You know, imagine you have a suction cup which could suck out all the chol from the basa. Right? How can you do such a thing? It doesn't exist. He says it exists in this particular scenario because the principle of ein bilua yotze michaticha chicha below rotev.
What's the chiddush? What's the big?
Well, you're going to see that the rod is going to reject this completely.
So if you have a piece of meat, kosher meat, that you're cooking a treifa pot,
right?
So it's also a bilua. So if that touches, it's the same.
Correct. Same din. Why? Because ein bilua yotzis michaticha chaticha below rotev, and the bilua always remains behind. But the chiddush here, the Rashba, that's why I want to show you where the Ran disagrees, is that basar b'cholav is no different than any other iser, and the just like every iser, in a case like you mentioned before, where you cook something with nevela, you cooked hetu in nevela, or you cooked hetu in a nevela dika pot, a treifa pot, etc., etc. The whole iser is the bilua. It means that you have a shtick head there, you have a basa mutter, but it's holding on to a balua avi. So the same thing applies to basa b'chala. The Gemara says, chaticha nasis nevela, says the Rashba, don't take that literally. It's kinevela. It's kinevela, meaning that as long as there is a taroves, then it's nevela, meaning you're going to need shishim against the entire piece of meat. The whole ganze piece of meat, and if you eat a kezias of that basa, you'll get malchus for that. Even if the cholav was less than a kezias, it would make one bit of a difference. However, if theoretically I could separate the cholav from the basar. Again, this sounds like something that's so lumdish. You know, it reminds me. You remember we once spoke about bishul b'li b'liya. Remember in the Gemara in Zvachim, right? Anyway, here also, what is he hacking over here? How could it possibly be that you could separate the cholav from the basar? And the Rashba found the mitzvah as gefund in the golden gelt. You know, he found gold coins. What did he find? That you take a hot piece of basar b'cholav, you attach it to a piece of basar heter, and the whole business of basar b'cholav is only machmas bilua. And now the bilua is not going to go out. Why? Because of this rule that we have, that without rotav it's not going to go out. So he identifies, in this case of negias basar b'cholav with all other isurim that have a bilua in it, I need to say. Why? Because basar b'cholav is an iser machmas bilua. The Gemara says nevela. What the Gemara means by nevela is that as long as you have the taromas of basar and cholav, then the whole gatz of basar is also. Don't think that you need shishim against the cholav or shishim against the basar, whatever the case may be. Nay, you need shishim against the whole piece of meat. But don't mistake it. And draw, you know, be too quick to draw conclusions that this piece of meat is utterly olam void, and there's no way under the heavens we can be matir. It's also conditional on the taromas of basar b'cholav, if we can somehow extract the cholav, and that's what he is able to do through this principle of ein bilua yotze michaticha lechaticha b'li rotav. Avol Aran, cholik al harashba v'sfir leishal yudei nesinas tam nibasal achol v'o ibcha nishava cheftza chadosha disura. By the way, you won't find that in the run. That is just for your own. This is Rav Salvation. You understand what I say? You know, the Ran didn't learn in Brisk, but had he learned in Brisk, this is the language that he would have used. That the nefcha hachaticha lechefza chadosha disura. So now, what are we saying? We're saying that the boss of a cholov is the boss is carrying a bilu of cholov. Nay, says the Ran, that's apikursus. That's blasphemy. Leave that out. What happens is that the meat itself becomes a chefta disura. It's a new isur that the Torah prohibited, and there's a certain compelling logic to, you know, intuitive logic to the Ran's perception, because boss of a cholov is an isur unto itself. It's not like, you know, you got a tam and the vela that's in boss of shkuta, so the boss of shkuta is holding on to the vela. That's not what it's all about. Once it became boss of a cholov, the Torah says this is what's also. It's not like every other isur, like the vela, where it became also the moment that the animal dropped dead without shkita, the boss is the vela. Here you had to do something to change nature to create boss of a cholov. But once having done so, the boss itself is a cheft of the isur. You can't extract a cholov from it, and therefore, b'meila kemoshe b'chatichas nevela hoseres chatichas hetzah etzla b'negiv yalma below rota. That means kidein etila is hu adinami yeshlomer b'chatichas bosa b'chol shenoga l'chatichas hetah. There's no difference between a shtik nevela mamish and bosa b'chol. In other words, the Ran is committed that when the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Ches that Chaticha Nasis Mevela with regard to Bosa B'chol, take it literally. Right. Don't play games with me and say, oh, it's like a Nevela, but it's not really Nevela. It is Nevela. That's the new Isra.
And that therefore, if it touches,
then it has the same din as Nevela that touches. If everything is hot, the Nevela will ask the Chatichas Bosa head to some
without
extent.
Even without Rotem.
Yeah. To some extent, I say again, we didn't get up to that semen and shulchan aruch.
We're no longer dealing with a bilua.
Correct.
Now we're dealing with
the vela. Right. And now he's saying the bas b'chol is the vela.
Right. And the Rashba does.
The Rashba is not impressed by that. The Rashba understands that bas b'chol is something. It's like, I'll tell you a joke, and see if this joke will help you understand the Rashba. Reb Chaim Brisker was walking together with Reb Shimon Shkop. So you know this joke. No, it's a true story. So Reb Shimon Shkop turns to Reb Chaim and he says to him that Chalos Ishus is not clinched the moment of Kesef Shtar Ubiya. It's an ongoing Chalos. Every second, the Chalos of Ishus is Mischadeshus. And he had his rights. So Reb Chaim said to him, "Oy bazoy, kibter a mazel tov."
I get it.
So what's my tzushtel? The Rashba holds that like kedusha, like ishus, according to Reb Shimon Shkop, Bosa B'cholov is an ongoing chalos Easter. Every moment that there's a tarovis here of Bosa B'cholov, then it's osur. If Lu Yitzur, you could stop it, terminate it at one moment in time and say, well, you know, I subtract and I extract the Bosa from the Cholov, then it's always Bosa B'cholov. Whereas the Ran would say, name, that once you have this entity called Bosa B'cholov, it's osur l'olam v'od. Forever and ever. Okay, now what?
Right, there's no such thing as tam lifgam of that.
Ah, well, are you getting back to our discussion about tam lifgam? Because that's what we're up to.
Bayad, you said.
Right. So wait, so hold on, Yosef. What we've done now is we're halfway through the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that if you want to understand the machlokes between the Shach and the Bach, as far as when you start counting the 24 hours to make it into an Einu Ben Yomo, he says you have to go back to the Rashba and the Ran. Okay? So we went back to the Rashba and the Ran, and we understand that the Rashba and the Ran are arguing about what arguably could be the most fundamental issue of what Bosa B'cholov is all about. Yeah. Two different understandings of Bosa B'cholov.
Right.
Now we have to see how the Prima Gadim is going to make this analogy to the case of the cholav, the kaf chalavit tchuva, right? The tchivas kaf chalavit. And he says the following. The Shach understood one second. Let me just make sure I get this right. The Shach understood like the Ran. Let's see if I can work this out, if my mathematics is correct. I'm not cheating now. You'll tell me if I got it right. It's a 50% chance I got this right. If we identify the Shach with the Ran, what happens is that if you have in this Kaf a taroves of basar b'cholav, a tar basar and a tar cholav, that's no same tam l'shvach, which means that at the moment of the first tchiva, what happens is the cholav now receives from the tavshil a tam of basar. So within the kaf itself, you have now a combination of basar b'cholav. Says the Shach, that creates a new entity. A new entity, a cheftzid isur chadasha. Again, it's not the language of the Shach. And we start counting, the clock starts ticking for 24 hours from that moment that the isur of basar b'cholav emerges. That means that the Shach rejects the concept of the Ran, but rather he's in favor of... That he rejects the concept of the Rashba, that we always have to look at the Bilua, and if we can isolate the Bilua, because again, in this case, let's talk about the Blia of Cholav in this Kaf. The Blia of Cholav is already after 24 hours, because when you used it on the first round in Cholav, you've already counted 24 hours since that moment. So the Cholav that enters into this Kaf through the first Chiva, through the first use, I wanted to call it, that can no longer generate an Iser Basar B'Cholav. Why? Because that tam has become a tam pogum. Therefore, the Shach says, nein, we're not going to go that route. We're not going to accept the Rashba, that we go back to the tam and we isolate the tam, and if we can get rid of the tam, we're going to remove the basar b'cholav. Nein, says the Shach, we embrace the shita of the Ran, and once it becomes basar b'cholav, at that moment, we forget about the original belia. Once that original Bliya has generated Basar B'Cholav, then the original Bliya in that moment of Bliya is history. It's irrelevant to us. Why? Because now what emerges is a brand new Cheftza Disura called Basar B'Cholav. And from that moment and on, we have to count 24 hours. Because if you use that spoon within 24 hours of the first Tchiva, then what you've got is a Bliya of Basar B'Cholav, which is called Tam L'Shvach. What do you mean it's called Tam L'Shvach? The Bach is here sitting on the sidelines, he's yelling and screaming, that can't be a Tam L'Shvach. The Cholav was used 36 hours ago. It's already long, 12 hours have passed since the Tam Pogu passed the Chor the Aislians. So the answer is that the Shach holds that we don't care about the original Belia. We care at the moment of his Havus, of the emergence, the creation of an Isur Basar B'Cholav. And once that Kaf was used in the first Tchiva, at that moment you've created a Tarovus of two Tamim of Basar B'Cholav. You created now a Cheftza Chadosha of the Isur Basar B'Cholav. Now we're going to count 24 hours. Comes along the Prima Gadim, just give me one more minute and we're almost at the finish line, and he says, "Aval Bach Sover, the Bach holds that Basar B'Cholav Eino Ela Iser Bilua." You have that paragraph? Aval, it starts with the word Aval. Which means that the Bach holds like the Rashba, and if you remember, the Rashba said that if we can somehow separate that Bilua in such a way that it remains behind, then Ois Basar B'Cholav, it's no longer Basar B'Cholav, and it wouldn't generate any Iser through Negiah. Dahainu, the Midin Basar B'Cholav Leka Iser, Elikol Zmanchenish Eres Blias HaBasar B'Cholav. And that's exactly what we said according to the Rashba. That this ongoing chalos, as we called it, a basar b'cholav, is dependent on, contingent upon the ongoing bilua of basar and cholav. But if nifridu zemizef, at some point you can somehow separate the blia, the bilua of basar and cholav, then it would be chozel et teiro, and that was the Rashba. Memela le'inyan shir me'es li'es. If you're going to tell me that this kaf in the second chiva is going to generate an isur basam chalav, I'm going to ask you about the two tamim, the tam of basar and the tam of chalav. And if I can prove to you and demonstrate that the tam of basar is a tam pogum, or the tam of chalav for that man is a tam pogum, meaning it's after me'es li'es, it's an eid ben yomo, then there's no way it can generate any sort of isur. You're always, according to the Bach, connected to the original blia of the chalav in order to establish an isur basar b'chalav. And the reason for that is because basar b'chalav is an isur machmas bilua, and it's only asur as long as that blia is a tam l'shvach. Now it's very nice that there was a tchiva of the kaf of chalav, but that tchiva could not possibly generate an isur basar b'chalav because that blia is already chalav that is pogum, and if it's chalav pogum, it could not possibly generate the isur basar b'chalav. Now I'm ready for questions. I mean, again, if I were on a panel, I would give the prima gadim a PhD just for this shtickle Torah.
So the chetza basar b'chalav is a chetzas isur. Even if it's more than 24 hours, it should remain, because it's not a pogrom anymore. It's become a new isur.
Correct, exactly. And that's the finish of the prima gadim, to explain the shach. The shach is going to say that at the moment that you get a blia, basar b'chalav, in that kaf, it's a brand new isur.
And then you count 24 hours from there.
From that isur. From that moment.
I'm saying even after 24 hours, it should be also.
Oh, no, so that has to do with something else. That has to do with the difference between be'en and blia. Like, for example, let's say, imagine you had a piece of cheesecake, chas v'shalom, that was cooked with meat, right? That cheesecake with meat is also even after 24 hours, because that's already be'en, right? Be'en. This whole shtickle Torah here is only about blia, meaning that if the basar b'chalav is close to two blios,
right,
then we're going to count 24 hours from the from whether it's the original blio or the
it's become an isur already.
Correct, but it's only an isur. It's only an isur blia. Even if you go with the Ran, and if you go with the Shach, right? We're only talking about an isur machmas. So again, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. Let's start from scratch again, just for a moment. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch, because I Yosef was photocopying the Shulchan Aruch, so we didn't have it in front of us. Right? Tochav kaf chol leves b'kedera shel basar ibcha. You have it. Im yesh shishim. We're going back to the top. If yesh shishim levatil es hakaf, hakdera vatav shel mutarim, aval hakaf osur, beinim basar beinim cholav, lefishi blua mi basar b'cholav, afilu b'dievet oseres, im chazar v'tochvua, bein v'basar b'cholav, kol zman shehi bas yomo. That's the Shulchan Aruch. That's not the Shach or the Bach. The Shach and the Bach are going to argue, what did the Shulchan Aruch have in mind when he added that condition, kol zman shehi bas yomo? So again, when we're talking about a bilua in a kedera, we definitely require basyoma. It's not like a case like, I have a piece of cake and it's both milchiks and fleishiks. I combine milchiks and fleishiks. Again, there's going to be a point called ena ru'uya l'ger, which means that if we, let's say that, the piece of basar b'chalav actually becomes farshtunken, pardon the expression, it gets sour or it spoils after a certain number of days, that's a different halacha. But as long as it's edible, I don't care if it's a basyomo or not, right? That's clear. But the issue of basyomo always applies to blia and kalim, that a blia and kalim could only be a blia oseres if it is a basyomo. But the question is, but what makes it into a basyomo? The shach says it's made into a basyomo from the moment of the blia of basar b'chalav, when this new chefta v'isura called basar b'chalav emerges. And the Bach says you cannot generate any sort of an isur of a basyoma from basar b'chalav when one of those two elements is already an eino basyomo in terms of its original blia. And we're going to go back to the first use of the kaf in chol.
Does isur bilua apply to shar yisurim as well?
Sure, absolutely.
Lifkam too?
Yeah, for sure.
So if I take a spoon,
right,
and I put it in a tray for pots,
right?
Okay, 25 and a week passes by,
right? So that spoon doesn't generate any isur whatsoever. Right? That's called an Eino Bas Yom.
So Eino Bas Yom applies to all, everything.
Correct. That's why, Rabbi, in most cases, and maybe also the Farsim, when people ask you shilas about pots and pans, it's almost always mut. You're going to have to come up with a rare occasion where you used it for treif today and 24, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to even imagine such. I mean, again, I'm not saying it's hard to imagine such a case, but most of the cases is not like that. Then again, there are exceptions to the rule with what's called a davar charif. And somehow davar charif, and we had long discussions about this, you know, changes of tam pogum into a tam l'shvah. And then we had a famous sheet of the Rashba called Meshicha Satam, you know, in the case of Duchat Sakina and that whole business.
Exceptions to the rule.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at the clock. We have about 9-10 minutes left. My goal, and again, you'll have to help me here because I get very confused, but is to try to finish this essay in the next 9 minutes. And if you look at it, it's only 2 paragraphs. So we should theoretically be able to do it. Up until now is the Prima Gadol. So we now made a seum Ad Kan HaPrima Gadol. From now on, it's Rav Soloveitchik. And he wants to say the following. Hayinira Levayer Das, I'm sorry, Acheres Bedas HaShach. In other words, Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that Enochinami, the Shach, could agree that the Iser here is an Iser Machmas Bilua. And nevertheless, the fact that more than 24 hours have passed since the original use of the Kaf Kol Levis, that's irrelevant according to the Shach. And why is that so if it's an Isur Machmas Bilua? He says, Mikol Mikol Mistaber Sheyesh L'Sha'er, we should evaluate Me'es Le'es, Mishah Shetochvo Es HaKaf L'Toch HaKedera Shel Basar. He's not going to go back to the original use and start counting. He's going to go with the Tchiva, that's the Shach. Even though it's an Isur Machmas Bilua. Sharei, and here we're turning to the next page. Sharei Kvar Hela Rash, but he has another Rash, but this is not the Rash that we've been discussing till now. Demasha Kedera She'eda Bas Yoma Eina Oseres HaTavshil Shenis Bashil Ba. Again, this would apply both to Basav Cholav and to all Isurim. We passed 24 hours since the original Bliya. Ein ze mishum shebliyas ha'eno ben yom nechsheves kibguma b'atzmusa. So you might want to underline the word b'atzmusa. Now, you know, in math, what do they call it when you have brackets and then you put a minus sign in front of the brackets, if you know what I mean? The ein ze is the minus sign. And whatever falls beyond that is what I shouldn't push this off on you guys, but the way I would have understood it, in the brackets, but the Rav adds the Ein's there, and it's based on some sort of Chiddush of the Rajba. I would have said that look at that Bliya, and isolate the Bliya, it's got a Bliyas Isur, and that Bliyas Isur is Pogum after 24 hours. That's what I would have said. And where the basis for such a thing is called the Vela Shena Ruya Leger. Let's say you have a piece of meat, but after a while it got spoiled, you know, you didn't refrigerate it, and, you know, if you would feed it to a human being, the guy might die of, you know, stomach, what's it called? What's the disease you get for eating spoiled meat? I forgot there's a name for it. Anyway, Ella. The Ella is that if we have to redefine Eino Ben Yom. This is the Rashba's new definition of Eino Ben Yom. B'nei she'bliya she'eino ben yoma tifkom b'miktas kol tavshil shenis arid bo. Meaning, if you were to isolate the bliya itself, I couldn't care less how old that bliya is. Again, this is all conceptual. This is all theoretical. L'maisa, I care very well how old that bliya is, because the bliya, like a piece of pardon the expression, a mouse that fell into a kedera, is going to ruin your kedera. Why? Because Chazal tell us that once 24 hours comes by, that time is going to have a negative impact. You know, we have to ask a chef, but that's what Chazal operate with that premise. It's going to have a negative impact on the tavshil. But if you were to isolate the bliya itself, then the bliya itself, despite the amount of time that's gone by, I don't care if it's a year ago, that bliya per se is awesome. You know, it reminds me of the halacha of Hetshed Kalim, that, you know, what do you do with an Eid Ben Yoma, which if you would cook in it, everything would be mutter. You still need Hetshed for it. Right, so I could have a chametz sticker pot that hasn't been used for chametz in 10 years, and I still need to be machshir it for Pesach. Why? Because the bliya itself is unaffected. So you remember we used that term, a shame kli? You remember that whole shtickle Torah? It has a shame kli chametz, because the bliya itself is unaffected. So what is an Eid Ben Yoma? And why doesn't it generate an Easter if the bliya is unaffected? The bliya, in terms of its relationship vis-a-vis the tavshil, is going to have a negative impact on the tavshil. And therefore, what happens to the tam, not in the kli itself, but the tam that penetrates into the tavshil? That tam becomes a tam pagum, and when the Torah says tam ki'ikar, it's got to be a tam l'shvach, which is kikar, but not a tam pagum. So again, if I would separate between the kedera itself, which has the bli of iser, and the tavshil now that was cooked in that kedera, I would say that the tavshil has a tam pagum, but as far as the tam in the walls of the kedera, if you could somehow isolate that tam, that remains bats musa, a tam l'shvach. V'eino osir midim tam ki ikor. Okay, that's as far as the tavshil. V'meila in yisbashu b'kedera lo tesar ha-blias isa shabas ha-tavshil midim tam ki ikor tivatel hi barov. Okay, now we have to introduce rov. Why do we introduce rov? Because tam ki ikor is doraisa, and the doraisa is contingent on the fact that it's a tam l'shvach. The rabbanon asir tam with gam. If that tam iser is pogam, then the rabbanon say you need rov. So again, we'd have to study the sugya of a mouse that fell into a cholent, which actually happened once in a yeshiva. I didn't go to that yeshiva, but it's a famous story. Anyway, yeah. So the question would be, would it at least require a bit of a rov? So hopefully if you have a large cholent to feed an entire yeshiva, the mouse is less than one, it's less than 50% of the cholent. Right. Oh, lefi svarazu, based on this fundamental breakthrough, din nosein tam lifgam eino mutter elmi din bitul barov. Right, when you cook in a pot with an eino ben yomo, right, and it's a nosein tam lifgam, you still need rov because we're going to lower it to the level of a tam pogum, and a tam isur pogum still needs at least a rov. Again, we'd have to study that a little bit more in detail. Ishapir yesh lesser akaf afli achashekvar over miyes leis mishoshet chuva betchila from the original use. 24 hours and more have passed. The tol kederis shel cholo to lo shayach lomar to li achar miyes leis shetachvua lekederis shel cholo kvar choshev kiilu nifredu acholov abosar zemize to ain blias acholov shebetoch akaf nechsheves kipguma biatzmusa. Right, what was the argument of the Bach? The Bach was saying that since your original use of this kaf in cholov has been more than 24 hours ago, the tam itself is pogum, and therefore there's no iser basar b'cholov. Nein, Rav Salvechik is saying the tam, according to the Shach, is not pogum in and of itself. Correct? Ein habliya nechsheves kipguma biatzmo, which is a repeat of what we saw in the second line from the top. Even though mi'es li'es, ella what we're going to have is a situation of a tam which is pogam and can only be batel with rov. For mi'achas shekem gam li'achas sheteitze blias acholav minakaf v'tis ari b'tavshil lotis batel b'rov. Oh, so now we have to ask the following question. Well, if let's say I can extract the tam from the blia, from the kaf, and now it's going to enter into the tavshil, so maybe we should say that all you need is rov. Says Rav Salvation, no, rov is not going to help me here. Why? And here's the punchline with a long footnote on the bottom, and he says the following. He says, "Darkaimalon efshel esokto asur v'ein bitul lechatzi chaticha." And what that means is that if the tam of the kaf is the blia in the kaf is a blia of basa b'cholov, we have a principle called efshel esokto asur. That's how we accept it la locha. and therefore there's no bittul for chatzi chaticha. Now, in order to appreciate this, we're going to have to go back to Simon Samachay, if you recall, of Ein bittul b'chatzi chaticha. Umemela calls man shebliyas habasa b'tocha kaf adayin hibas yoma. We're going to consider that blia in the kaf as if it were bas yoma. V'tam habasalo yisbatel kishiyetzim in a kaf. Umemela gam tam acholov shebolo yisbatel af kishiyetzim in a kaf. And the reason for that is because the tam, although it would be poyem the Tavshil, since we have a principle called Ein Bittul Chatzi Chaticha, we won't be able to apply the principle of Bittul Barov as far as this Tarovus is concerned. So this last point here will have to be clarified again, B'li Neder, as we go through Siman Samachay one more time. Alright? We'll take a break now for Mincha.